Hey,
This is Cam and Cleve on the Voice of the Fans, VOF for short. This is our Super Bowl recap. And sadly to say, Mr. Cleavon, this might be our last time we talk, man, until on the airwaves, at least until the draft time in April. How was the Super Bowl? Did you enjoy it? Was it all that you anticipated? And are you happy for Nick Foles? Mr. Cleavon.
Orchestrated an offense that put up 41 points, established the ground game, established the running game, established time of possession, throwing a few trick plays that Bill Belichick hasn't seen before. And, yeah, it was exactly how I scripted it.
Exactly how he scripted it, huh? I hear that, man. I hear that. I remember getting laughed off the radio show last week when I was predicting or stating, I should say, the obvious ways that Eagles could win the football game. It had more so to do with the defense getting some pressure on Tom Brady, which that never happened until the end of the game. In fact, the only time it happened was the game-changing play. But the players, I mean, the game wasn't the greatest game, probably one of the most exciting games because they went up and down the field. A lot of yardage this game, most yardage in any Super Bowl in history. The most points scored. I had the Eagles scoring 14 points, so that was way beyond what I anticipated. And kudos to the Eagles, man. And kudos to Peterson for playing his game, not worrying about who was on the other side of the field, not getting caught up in what you probably should do in certain situations. He's proven week after week, if you want to look back at it, time after time, that he's going for the juggler. And that's exactly what they did to start the game. They came out throwing. To continue the game, he came out minutes before halftime, throwing the ball, trying to get points on the board, which, you know, another team 2 weeks ago should have did against the New England Patriots, but they weren't feeling themselves, I guess. And then he never took his foot off the pedal, because late in the game, he continued to throw. He continued to put the ball in the hands of his backup quarterback, Nick Foles. So that was a good job by Foles. Good job by the coaching staff not to get intimidated or outcoached by the veterans in the league. And then a great job by the Eagles for wanting it. I was thoroughly impressed by the confidence the coach showed, the confidence with the team played with, and obviously how they came out with the W and held the Patriots below, and especially in the crunch time, they were able to collapse the Patriots and make them take a seat versus what we've seen from other teams. They get intimidated and don't know how to close the game out. So I was thoroughly impressed by the way the Eagles won their first Super Bowl championship, and how, you know that feeling, how amazing the Eagles must feel. The Eagles and all their fans, I should say, must feel.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Cam. It is very contradictory to what your ultimate hypothesis was for how the game would unfold last week. However, I do understand what you were saying. In the beginning, you did want to see a competitive game. You did throw out various scenarios as to how the Eagles would be able to stay in the game and perhaps even be competitive and perhaps even win the game. But at the end of the day, as I recall, I mean, you can pull the table if you like, that you really didn't truly believe in them. And no one did. except for everyone in that locker room. It was definitely a Chris Berman moment, you know. Everything is stacked against them, but hey, that's why you play the game. And so when they went out there and they were able to establish ball control, they were able to establish a balance between the run and the pass, they were able to make big plays to Alshon Jeffrey. Wow, he had an incredible game. Credit to you for, you know, sticking with him. I went away from him just because, you know, from purely a fantasy perspective. He just wasn't as productive as I would have liked for him to have been. However, they saw the value in him. They gave him the contract, big contract, you know, in mid-season, which is, you know, somewhat unheard of. Him and Devontae Adams both got one, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. The way they were able to execute in the Super Bowl was extraordinary. And like you said, they never took their foot off the gas. They were always trying to stay one step ahead of the Patriots. And Zach Ertz, give him credit as well. I've heard a lot of talk about the comparison of the Jesse James catch, but, I mean, are people seeing that Jesse James, he was down before he crossed the plane, and versus Zach Ertz being across the plane before his knee went down? It's a very obvious dichotomy between those two plays. They want to make them similar, like it's the same thing, but it clearly was not. But kudos to the Eagles for doing the impossible. You know, Tom Brady threw for 505 yards, came up with a loss. Amazing. You would never have thought such a thing, but, you know.
Let's back up to the Zach Ertz play. First of all, if we back up even further, that was late in the fourth quarter. Early in the third or late in the third quarter, the pass to the running back Clement, I wouldn't have been so upset if they called that an incomplete pass. Though I do think he caught the ball and got 2 feet down. I could see if they say the ball was moving and in that third foot came down out of bounds. I can kind of see that. I wouldn't have been upset, but that. The Zach Ertz touchdown was clearly a touchdown. I don't even know why they needed to go to the review booth for that. It was clearly a touchdown. He caught the ball, took 1, 2, 3 steps, and dove for the end zone, and the ball came out. It was vaguely similar to the Jesse James play, but Jesse James' knee was down. He got an elbow down, and then he stretched out over the end zone. That should have been a touchdown. But in the same breath, once you get your knee down and you crack the plane of the end zone, it should be a touchdown and the play should have been dead, similar to how they called that in the Super Bowl. So kudos to them. But nobody's questioning how McCourty got so burnt. He got toasted on that play. The more they show their replay, Zach Ertz gave him an outside move, went inside. McCourty was on roller skates on thin ice, it looked like. He just got toasted. That was a piss-poor play on his part. And then he just bumbled and stumbled around to get the knee of Zach Ertz. And good thing Ertz, with his field awareness, was able to get up, you know, get up in the air, get over him, and get the touchdown. So I credit him for getting in the end zone. But nobody is talking about how McCourty just got toasted on that play, and that was pretty shameful.
I hear that, but in addition, you know, the play that really kind of surprised me was when the Patriots ran their trick play to perfection and Tom Brady looked as unathletic, in my Charles Barkley voice, as unathletic as any quarterback I've ever seen. I mean, the ball was right in his hand. I mean, he catches it, he was just like a newborn fawn. I mean, it was terrible. I mean, just the way it looked bad as his 40 combine looked. It was just terrible. I mean, just like what kind of athleticism? I mean, I know that the quarterback position, depending on who your player is, doesn't necessarily have to be that athletic. You don't necessarily have to have a Cam Newton, a Russell Wilson, you know, a player of that caliber from an athleticism standpoint.
But when once he got out and the throw, you know, sometimes those, you know, sometimes those three plays, the throws are kind of wild, and they're kind of out of the way. But this one was right at his fingertips, and he was just like, "Wow! If you catch that, and you know, and keep going, you're gonna score a touchdown."
No.
But
no,
the
stop,
way
stop,
that he
stop.
Looked was just, I mean, I don't know. I think most
stop
quarterbacks
it.
Can make
you,
that play, and he was just. Not looking himself. I mean, I'm not saying not himself, just not athletic for a quarterback.
Yeah,
or an NFL player, he wasn't looking athletic.
He was going to score a touchdown. He would have barely picked up the first score down.
Score a touchdown. A touchdown.
Oh, stop. Yeah. Stop it. He didn't want no parts of that ball. That's why he short-armed the ball when it was lofted in the air and fell off his – you know, fell off of his fingertips. He didn't want any parts of that. Tom Brady, you know, since you want to go back up and go there, Tom Brady was off. He missed a couple passes early, a couple open receivers early, and he was never comfortable. And never, though he did throw for 500 yards, it wasn't a pretty 500 yards, if I would say so myself. Tom Brady looked kind of off. And I credit that to the Eagles' defense in the sense that they it wasn't like they were pressuring them on every play, but they were able to confuse them with the 4-man rush and still playing solid solid on the back end. And they stayed aggressive. They stayed in the face. Again, there weren't any sacks that they got until the last strip sack of the game, but they pretty much kept them uncomfortable, didn't allow him to step up in his comfort zone as he tends to do. But I wasn't surprised that he missed the ball. I'll leave it at that. Had he caught the ball, he was running straight for the sideline. He might have got the first down, but come on, he was 35 yards away from the touchdown. He wasn't going 35 yards. He Peyton Manning will tell you he wasn't going 35 yards. So, you know, enough of the losing quarterback. What do you think? What do you do now with Nick Foles as the MVP, as the MVP season? Is he your backup quarterback? Do you trade him for as much as you can get for him? Because you know Carson Wentz, he's not going to supplant Carson Wentz as a starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. That'd be blasphemous. What do you do with Nick Foles?
Oh, without question, you trade him for as much as you can get for him. If someone thinks that this is, you know, the spawn of, you know, NFL legacy at the quarterback position, then by all means, take advantage of that. If someone thinks that Nick Foles can supplant their starter, then by all means, oh, yeah, at least a second round, if not two second rounders. If that's what you can get for him. Of course, it's always a great security blanket to have a capable backup, but you're assuming that Carson Wentz is going to come back 100%, and once he does, I mean, there is no quarterback controversy in Philadelphia. It is Carson Wentz's team. That's without question. So if you can get, like, marquee – if you can get, like, for example – you recall back in the day when Larry Brown won the Super Bowl MVP and then parlayed that into like Big Cheese, but he wasn't really like a shutdown corner by any means. However, of what he was able to do in a big game, he got, you know, a big payday. If someone is willing to take that chance on Nick Foles, by all means, yeah, trade that chip.
Total agreeance with you, unless we go into April training camp and Carson Wentz is still iffy and gimpy and not looking like he's going to be able to rebound this season. I may keep him for another season because he is under contract, and you know they happen to know the benefit of a true backup quarterback and what that means to the team. So it would be that reason and that reason alone that I would keep him. Otherwise, other than that, yes, I got to trade him for something. Couple draft picks, another lineman, offensive tackle, because they did lose their, if you remember, they did lose their offensive tackle way back in week 4, I think, week 4 or 5, I think it was. I would trade him for that, unless, again, I see that Carson isn't going to be back and ready for September. Is this the end of the era? You know, with all the turmoil and the controversy that surrounded the Patriots for the last month, we'd say, the disagreements between the head coach and the quarterback, the head coach and the quarterback's personal trainer, is this the end of an era? We saw one of the coordinators take a job elsewhere. We saw the other one renege on taking a job elsewhere. I'd like to know what your thoughts on, is this the end of an era, or are these guys back at full strength next season?
Well, as I mentioned last week, the Patriots do have somewhat of a golden ticket into the playoffs. And once you get into the playoffs, it's just a matter of if you can stay healthy and if you have home field advantage for certain games. So from that perspective, it certainly is not the end of an era. And given Tom Brady's dedication and regimen and diet, certainly he's able to play for a few more seasons. Let us not forget that Brandon Cooks went out in the second quarter, and they only lost on a Hail Mary throw. Gronkowski was very dominant in that game. However, he is leaning back and forth towards retirement. I don't really ever take that very seriously, because I understand that football players, number one, they're wired differently than other people, and number two, they realize that this is really the only opportunity they have to make, you know, in excess of the millions of dollars that they make. So although you've heard about, you know, perhaps, oh, the concussions and, you know, I may pursue my movie career, which is, you know, some of the rumors that I've heard as far as Gronk is concerned, he's got to be back because that's what he does. He's a football player. That's what he does. So once you return Gronk, you return a healthy Cooks, you have a Tom Brady even more motivated than he was previously. You have a Bill Belichick that does not like getting 41 points put on him by a Doug Peterson-led team. You know, there are probably other coaches. He probably would have taken that loss a little bit better than he did. But losing to Doug Peterson, I'm sure, is a little bit of a, you know, bitter taste in his mouth. So I would say no. And the foremost reason, again, being the gold figure that they get into the playoffs every year by winning the AFC East. When's the last time I lost the AFC East?
Oh my goodness gracious!
Because you have 2011. You have six games that you can already kind of, you know, write down in pencil before the season even starts.
That's not true. That's not true at all. They went 4-2 in those six games this past season. So not that you can just write down six wins in a book. Okay. They went 4-2. They beat the Bills twice, so they did go 4-2. The Jets beat them once and almost had a chance to beat them again. So you say it's the East, okay? In response to what you're saying, I don't expect Gronk to retire. That's garbage. That I don't even know why anybody's entertaining that. Bill Belichick, I expect to be back with one of his coordinators, and somebody will fill in for the defense. I'm not sure how excited Lions fans are when their new quarterback or their new head coach just gave up his mantra is defense, and his team just gave up the most points in the Super Bowl. I'm not sure how excited you'd be about that. And the most yards have been given up by a Super Bowl. So I'm not just sure how you get excited about that. We will see the Patriots back in their tough AFC East division that builds them up every season, because they compete in the AFC East. They're more prepared to play playoff football. So
The New England Patriots have won the AFC East 17 years in a row.
No, not 17 years in a row.
For crying out loud.
they did not win it in 2011. And again, it's the tough AFC East that prepares them for their Super Bowl runs that they
missed. When's the last time they lost it before that?
Well, it's been 2001? A while. I think it was,
yeah, okay. It's been a while. It's been a while. So that one apparition.
2008, the same team beat them in 2008 that beat them in 2011, okay? The same team, those
okay.
Miami Dolphins, if you really want to know, okay?
Oh, wow.
Nonetheless.
Wow.
Nonetheless, I'm kind of upset with Josh McDaniels. Let me restate my words. I am pleased, very pleased, that McDaniels did not take the job of the Indianapolis Colts, because that he would have tainted
excuse me. If I may interject right here, this was a shrewd move on Josh McDaniels' part. Okay, he was going into his office to pack up everything and say goodbye, you know, hugs and handshakes, and Robert Kraft, you know, the wily Robert Kraft thought about it for a second.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Losing someone of the talent of a Josh McDaniels that understands the Patriot way and the way that Josh McDaniels does is probably not in our best interest. Is there anything we can do to sweeten the pot? Now, Josh McDaniels has four young kids. They're in school.
Right.
You know, everybody
sure.
knows, you know, that he's, you know, basically, you know, royalty in the Foxborough area, just because of what he's been able to do, and given the fact that I don't think Andrew Luck has thrown a football in the last 9 months, that's not the greatest job in the world.
Well,
I mean, T.Y. Hilton is probably their best player, so.
So
if Robert Kraft comes to you and says, hey, listen, slow it down. We'll give you a couple of more million on the coordinator contract, and why don't you follow Shadow Bill Belichick a little bit closer than you have been, and hey, wink, wink, I think Bill might be stepping down in 2 or 3 years. And we certainly would like someone that knew the Patriot way and kind of understood the way Bill Belichick thinks, to be his predecessor. If you take that in consideration, adverse on the other side, you just got Andrew Luck, man. They can't even, eat a bowl of, you know, a healthy bowl of Cheerios without a little bit of shoulder pain. It hasn't really been that productive the last couple of years. I mean, the job is much better in New England. So, of course, they ruffled some feathers. And, yes, offensive coordinators were hired. So that is kind of a little bit of a renege on his part. However, it's just a better job all the way around. And his mentor did the same thing in New York. So not like this is unprecedented.
His mentor, it took a day. There wasn't a 3-week courting process. He didn't hire other offensive coordinators who signed at the bottom line when he changed his mind. That was an overnight change, and it was I grant you. Why would you leave New England? Why would you leave it if that's where you've been? But I think looking at it from the Indianapolis Colts point of view and Andrew Luck's point of view, I think it's a good time he didn't take his traitorous raise to the Colts and then fail like he did in Denver. I'm happy that Andrew Luck will have a new coach. He's going to have a new coach that is probably going to be behind him 100%, and that he'll be able to move forward with and then reclaim his position as the greatest, youngest quarterback we have.
Okay. Whoa. Slow it down. First of all, we have absolutely no idea who the coach is going to be, because all of the good coaches have been snatched up. They have taken the other jobs. 25% of the jobs in the NFL came open, and they've all been filled. So now they're trying to backfill that position with people they've interviewed previously, even my guy Chris Richard. The defensive backs coach in Dallas is all of a sudden the favorite to get that position. That's not an offensive guru. That's not someone that's been running the Patriots offense effectively in numerous occasions.
Even
that's not somebody that's
going
to help
Andrew
Luck get to the next level.
Even
that's not somebody that's going to turn the Colts franchise around and the culture within the organization. Let's face it. The Colts, with the pick that they have, would probably behoove them to actually draft a quarterback. They have no idea what Andrew Luck is going to do. When's the last time he threw a pass? His brother hurts when he gets his overcoat on to go to the therapist's office. There's absolutely no predecessor for this. There's no anything to say that Andrew Luck is going to be okay. We have no frame of reference for this. And again, as I said previously, he wasn't that successful last year. Two years ago. And he wasn't that successful the year before that. So although he had a lot of talent, a lot of potential, he did take the Colts to a championship game one time, great game, you know, or a great season. You know, he's capable of throwing for, 4,000 plus yards when he's healthy, but he's not the guy. I'm sorry. He's not the guy.
Again, your disdain for Andrew Luck is rising to the top again, improving and clouding your decision and your thought process, apparently.
No. Your affinity for Andrew Luck is clouding your judgment. what has he been able to really actually do in this league?
Again, the you just mentioned it. He won AFC Championship, and I think it was the second year in the league. The team, the owner, has been more of a detriment to him than anybody else. And he happened to get hurt two seasons ago, and was unable to perform last year. I think with the new coach, that's going to change the culture. Any change is a good change. So a new coach coming on is going to change the culture around. He's motivated to play.
Any change is a good change, really. Any change is a good change? What Andrew has proven is that he's better than Robert Griffin III. That's what he's been able to prove. And kudos to you. I mean, your dad was an NFL quarterback, and it's probably, taught you the ins and outs of everything, and that's awesome. But that's really
that
he's been able to prove to this point.
That's the thing talking. So, yeah, any change is a good change. They need structure. They do need discipline. So hopefully they find a good coach. But back to the Super Bowl.
So do me a favor. If Andrew Luck is healthy, draft him as your first quarterback you pick in your fantasy drafts. All your drafts. I want all your teams to have Andrew Luck. Is that cool? You feel confident with that?
He won't be the first quarterback, but he'll be on my team.
Wow. Are you on skates? You kind of backpedaling on me a little bit.
He won't be on
the
first
right?
But he'll be on my team for sure, and I'll prove that to you.
Okay. All right. Good. Yeah. Thanks.
Malcolm Butler, did his absence or Bill Belichick's stubbornness cause them a Super Bowl?
I definitely think it was a factor. That's just not a move. But again, in two parts. It definitely cost them because of the way that he did it and that stubbornness, that Shanahanism, if you will, to think that it's your system and putting people in a position to make plays all the time is what wins games. When in reality, it's talent that wins games. So the person that they put in place of Malcolm Butler was not as good as Malcolm Butler. Otherwise, he would have been starting the entire season. He didn't. Malcolm Butler played 98% of the plays. So, yeah, that was definitely a factor in what it is that they weren't able to accomplish. That being said, that is also indicative of what the Patriot way is. They think that they're smarter than everybody else, and they think that it's not the players, it's the system. And once you kind of lock into that mindset,
That's why they're so quick to turn over the talent over there. I mean, who knows what they might have been able to accomplish if they kept some players like Lawyer Malloy. I mean, just one more year, man. But they're always trying to be ahead of the curve. And in this particular situation, this is the same team that sent a player home on Saturday night before the Super Bowl. So it's not like it was unexpected. I mean, anything could happen. The only player I've ever seen in the Patriot organization say replaceable was Tom Brady, and with good reason. I was the first person when Matt Castle went 11-5 to say, oh, man, Tom Brady's out of there. What can they get for a Tom? They can go 11-5 without him. So, hey, man, usually 11-5 gets into the playoffs, and that particular season they didn't, but they saw that, you know, they can do that without him. So, Patriots are a funny breed like that. So I wasn't surprised that it happened at the same time. Did it cost them the Super Bowl? I don't recall any really big pass plays that the backup gave up. At the same time, it was a weird thing to do, and the timing of it was really, you know, unordinary. So perhaps it cost them. It's not like the backup gave up big plays, but it fractured the team and it sent a weird message and it gave a weird vibe. So considering you only lost by 8 points and, you know, a Hail Mary maybe ties the game, you know, perhaps it was a factor.
Well, I think maybe – I don't think it was a total factor because, number one, the defense wasn't great all season long. I do recognize he was probably one of their better defenders, but their defense hasn't been, you know, exactly a game stopper all season long. So I'm not willing to say the whole game hinged on him playing or not. They had Alshon Jeffries going early. Once they switched over and put the guy they picked up from, I'm having a brain fart. Number 24, the guy they picked up from Buffalo. Once they put him on him, that slowed the game down.
Stephon Gilmore.
That slowed the game down as far as Alshon Jeffery was, and then they turned to Aguilar, who another USC receiver that chose to shine in the playoffs. I know somebody doesn't like USC receivers, but we had Woods for the Rams have a big game earlier in their loss, and then here we have another one shine in their Super Bowl victory. That's another topic for another day, though. So I'm not
man.
Exactly
can't
sure.
Wait for that. Can't wait for that. But please.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure or wanted to admit that cost them the game and the Shanahanism, if you will. I'm not exactly ready to totally hinge it on that. However,
what? What? Come on! How can you say that? How can you say that when you will bench your starting defensive back, thinking that your system is good enough for anyone to step in and do the same thing? I will take it a step further. That's like if the Seattle Seahawks and Pete Carroll were so arrogant that he just said, you know what, I think anybody could do as good a job as Earl Thomas playing free safety. So on the Super Bowl, and I'm not even going to tell anybody until 10 minutes before the game this is happening, that we're just going to, you know what, instead of Earl Thomas, let's just throw Bradley McDougal in there. What are you talking about?
You said it earlier. You said it, although you were wrong, the Patriots have won 17 AFC championships in a row.
Yes, they have.
I said
AFC East titles, and I think they've only been not got that like twice.
Again, you were wrong.
Go ahead. 15-2.
Yeah, you were wrong.
I said 17 now. 15-2.
Okay, so
15-2
is damn good. 15-2 is enough AFC title division championships being going to the Super Bowl for the ninth time is evidence that you know what the hell is going on. You know what the hell your team is capable of. You know what the hell to do in big time, in big moments. So I'm gonna have to. I'm not ready to say that it cost him a win, because Bill Belichick has done been shrewd, and he's done shrewd things his whole career. Letting go of Seymour.
You can
go
say
of,
that. You can
Cox.
Say that because the cornerback didn't give up any big plays. But again, if we're talking about Shanahanism, that's the same thing as saying, well, Mike Anderson is good as Quentin Portis. I mean, Quentin Portis got a 1,600 yards left behind, but running my offense and running behind the offensive line that I put together in Alice Gabe, I mean, I can just plug anybody in there and get the same result.
Tell me what Mike Anderson came and did. Tell me what he did. After he replaced Quentin Portis, tell me what he did.
He got 12.
Huh? He got 12. Okay, and then 2 years ago,
I said 16.
Yeah, 12, 16.
So you're talking about 400 yards. You're talking about way more of an impact, and you're talking about comparing Mike Anderson to Clinton Portis. You're making the same mistake.
No. I'm telling you what these coaches are doing. I'm telling you, explaining to you the coach's philosophy. The coaches have been successful running their scheme, running their offense. That gives them the leverage to say, here's who I want running the game. Whether it works or not is not what we're talking about here.
Ego to think that it is their system that is making the success adverse the players that they have in their system.
If Bill Belichick called you on Sunday morning and said, Cleavon, I'm not starting my quarterback. My cornerback. What do you think? You would have said, Bill, I trust. You would have said, Bill, I trust. This is his ninth Super Bowl.
The first question I would have asked is, okay, you're not starting your starting cornerback. Who are you starting instead? And you would have said some dude that you've never heard of, adverse Malcolm Butler, who started 98% of your snaps. And you'd be like, wow, well, why now? Why 15 minutes before the game?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to make that kind of decision, make that decision earlier. Everybody gets acclimated to it. Even the player gets acclimated to it. You don't call somebody after they've been stretching for 45 minutes. Oh, by the way, you're starting in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Coach, I'm ready. The way that's been my whole life. Yeah. That's what I've been prepping for. Come on, man. Terrible.
Listen, it could have been handled better. But going into the game, I would have had to trust Bill Belichick in all that he decided. Plain and simple, he has a track record.
Okay, see, and you have that Foxborough blind faith mentality. You can't say it wasn't a bad move. It was a bad move. It didn't backfire because the cornerback didn't give up any really big plays. However, if you're going
to
bench your starting cornerback in the Super Bowl,
I'm not willing to say
that it better be better, or why would you bench him in that game?
Well, shit, I don't know what happened. We heard Rick Ross. We heard the Rick Ross concert. We heard there was some. He missed a curfew. Maybe smoking a little weed. We heard a few different things. So, what it was is, you know, I would have been okay with trusting in Bill. So to recap the season, you know, the Super Bowl was not a stellar playoff for our pick segment. I don't know if you had a chance to review the numbers at all. 11 games played.
I did. They're abysmal.
Total 11 games played in the playoffs. 45%. I won 5 out of 11. You won 4 out of 11. And the picks against the spread are even worse, 22% to your 11%, two games correct to my correct. One thing I can say is that, you know, the right the right person is back on top anyway, as abysmal as the numbers look. More wins in the playoffs, more picks against the spread is accurate. So I'll take that. Confidence picks in the playoffs. We didn't actually break. I didn't break those out for playoffs, but you know I would have won that too as I won the regular season. So we'll go ahead. I'll pat myself on the back for that. But some of these prop bets. Did Pink go over? Did Pink go over a minute and a half or 2 minutes for the national anthem? I think she was under. Some of the ones that really caught my attention was the first team to score. I had Philly. They scored first. I had Blunt being the first one to score for Philly. He wasn't. I had Gronk with the first person to score. He wasn't. The first team to record a sack was the first team to record a sack was the Philadelphia Eagles. I had Philly recording the sack there, except I had who was it? I had Fletcher Cox getting a touchdown.
Fletcher Cox, yeah.
Yeah. Justin Timberlake, I didn't see the whole performance. I don't know what song he sung first. We knew he would have on some black, which he did in the you know, Jordans. More yards, Jeffrey or Cooks? Oh, by the way, that reminds me. Cooks showed absolutely, when he got laid out, that was absolutely poor field awareness on that play, and I was surprised to see that from a wide receiver, number one. And then Cooks, number two, he caught the ball. He came back to the Brandon Digg route, came back to the ball, saw the defender barreling down on him, and then tried to do a pirouette, and that same defender, the first defender he saw was the one that come and cleaned his clock. I was totally clueless as to why he kind of turned and ran right back into the defensive back. That I was, not to say he should have got hurt, but man, he should have took the lick, and he did it to himself more than kind of cut up field. I was surprised by that. Dude, were you surprised by that as well, or what did you think?
I thought it was a football play. I thought he was perhaps trying to do a little bit too much, but you know, no one ever really anticipates unless it's a weird play. That you're just going to get, you know, smashed like that. It's certainly not in this NFL area. It's just, it's not allowed. So, you know, the fact that he got taken out on that play was, a little surprising. And it was definitely a huge game changer that I don't think a lot of people really are giving enough consideration to. And really, I'm just thinking about these numbers that you just threw out at me, and next season we're going to make some changes and have some repercussions for successes and failures on that. Yeah, we're going to make that.
Okay, all right. So
we're going to make that really good, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Well, any suggestions?
You're coming up over me on some hodgepodge in the playoffs, man. That's just not. Yeah. Yeah, it's not sitting well.
I didn't play. We picked the same games every week, fella. Mr. Cleavon, I want to thank you sincerely, man, for participating this season. It's been 23 weeks of fun and excitement every week to team up with you to do the show. We will do this again. We'll do our yearly annual NFL draft preview and recap. That's early April. But Cleavon, I want to thank you sincerely, man, for participating this year. Give a shout out to your Euphoria group and what you guys have going on over the next couple months.
Oh, right on, man. We definitely have some events, some pop-up shops here in the 206 area, and trying to get a little bit more, geographic. Has some other areas, hopefully some LA, some Phoenix, some Houston, some Miami, some New York. So, you know, cross fingers. Hopefully everything works out well. And, you know, it's been a pleasure to do the show. It's definitely a highlight of my week. And let's just keep it rolling, man, and make it as big as we can.
Well, yeah, let's keep it growing, big guy. Thank you for tuning in. We'll talk to you in April.
Right on, bro. I'll be here.
Have a good one, big guy. Talk to you soon.
All right, later.
Later.